Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
They say money changes everything. But what if I told you winning the lottery could actually ruin your life? History is full of stories, curses, bankruptcies, even murders, all tied to that so-called lucky ticket. Today, we're talking about one of the most bizarre of them all, the case of Tonda Dickerson, and a nightmare of lawsuits, greed, and bloodshed. This isn't a fairy tale. It's the dark side of fortune. Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite Deadly Mary duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky. Yeah. Where I tell the stories and he gets dragged along for the ride. Hey, how you doing? How's your day going?
I'm good.
Good?
Why are you looking at me like that?
I know, because I'm going to take you for a ride today. It's not too bad of a ride, though.
Okay.
Today's story is going to be a bit different. It's going to feel different. It's going to look and sound different. It's not really something we've covered before.
Look and sound different.
Mm-hmm. Because you're looking at me.
Oh, I thought you were going to have a country accent or something.
No.
I mean, you've been watching a lot of TV.
Yellowstone, to be specific.
Yes.
My God, it's so good. We are in season 4 now, everybody. If you haven't watched it, finish this episode first and then go watch it. And then tell us what you think. It is so good. This is the first time we're watching it and we are hooked.
I mean, we started watching it, about 2 weeks ago? We're already on season 4.
No, where are we at? We've been binging.
Just to throw myself under the bus, I suck at binging shows.
He does. Who else's husband or partner does that? Because it's hard to finish a season. Oh, well, honestly, an episode. But it's hard to finish just a show in general with Tom. Because one, he'll either fall asleep early or he's just not in the mood to watch it that night. But God forbid, if I have 90 Day Fiancé on and he's like, what's going on?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What did Gino say?
I don't know.
They're back together?
I don't know who Big Ed is. Jasmine did what?
Yeah, you see? Exactly. So it is kind of funny. I've noticed that's the way to kind of get you in the mood is just put it on without you. And then you're like, wow, what's going on? Overhear something.
I'm here speaking for all men. It's the same thing for all of us.
Yeah.
So wives out there.
And partners.
Or partners.
Could be anybody. Yep.
That's all you got to do. Just turn on whatever they say.
Just turn it on
around
them.
Interested.
Yeah.
Turn it on. They're going to hear a little bit. And then all of a sudden they're going to say, hold on. What's going on?
Have you seen that TikTok audio where I think it's, Dr. Phil. And the audio is, she's pregnant. Not at 15. Not at 14. Not at 13, not even 12,
yes.
Something like
and
that.
And then the guy comes running and jumps
over
the couch
starts like,
with
because he's like, what is that?
He
keeps
going back
on?
And forth.
Yes, that's literally the vibe that you're getting. No, but today's episode's just going to feel a bit different because we're not going to be talking about a serial killer lurking in the shadows or a haunted Victorian mansion. No.
Okay.
It's actually about something that seems rather harmless, to be honest, and something that most of us have fantasized about or even dreamed about. So I'm going to let you try to take a guess. Your favorite part.
I don't like this.
Yeah. And don't get zutty. Don't get zutty.
I'm going to say, you said fantasize about?
Something that everyone, even in listeners listening right now, we've all either fantasized or dreamed about this. Let me know when
winning
you want me to.
Winning the lottery.
Yes, actually.
Wait, for real?
Yep, winning the lottery.
That's the only thing that I could think of that everyone
good.
Probably had fantasized at least.
Yeah, because that's kind of typical. That's kind of a typical. But good guess, baby. You did so good.
Yay.
Yay. Clap. Clap. Round of applause. That's good.
I can do that. Hold on. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning lottery, okay, today's topic is going to be on lottery. It's going to be the episode on winning the lottery. There's actually a phenomenon that people call the lottery curse. Have you ever heard of it?
I have not.
Okay, well, we're going to get a little bit on the darker side when it comes to winning the lottery. Yes.
Okay.
Statistically, nearly 70% of big jackpot winners end up bankrupt, divorced, or, I mean, could be any worse with that, within just a few years. And I think I was reading.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I was even reading that it could be as, like, within 5 years of them winning their lottery, which also reminded me of the Family Guy episode where they win the lottery two or three times and they keep going bankrupt. Yes. And they lose.
Yes.
It. Yeah, so this reminded me of that. And these statistics, like, are not rumors at all, because there are actually truly chilling stories out there about lottery winnings. Have you ever heard of any of them?
I have. I even, way back in the day, I had sold Cadillacs at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And no joke, this family won, I want to say it was about maybe $1 million or around
there. Yeah, go for
them.
Yeah.
So good money.
Yeah.
I think in 1 week, the dad came, he bought himself a brand new Escalade. Then he left.
Okay.
Comes back a day later with his wife. He buys her a brand new car.
Damn.
Then they left. He came back later the same day.
Damn.
Bought his daughter a car. But then his daughter went home, didn't like the car. So then he calls us from his, they're still living in an apartment they're renting.
Damn.
They didn't even decide to buy a house.
Man's is spending money on cars.
So then they call us up and he said, oh, my daughter doesn't like the car anymore. Anything you guys can do? So we offered to buy the car back.
Okay.
Obviously not at full price.
Yeah.
Because once you drive the car off the lot, boom, gone.
Right, right. Yeah. The appreciation. Yeah.
We buy the car back.
The value.
And then, same thing. So it was a reoccurring thing. And I want to say in just a couple of days, he had spent almost $300,000-$400,000 worth of cars.
What? That's insane.
And a lot of it was just, he kept switching out. Oh, and that was the other thing. He came and he wanted to sell his Escalade back to us too, because he decided he wanted the Platinum instead of the, I think it was at the time, it was Luxury or something like
Man's,
that.
Man's, shit.
Yeah.
Watch me with $1 million winning.
Which all of us said, it's sad, but all of us said,
it's kind of, yeah.
Here goes all of his money.
Right.
And we had even asked, one of our GMs point blank asked.
Right. I was going
to
ask.
I want your money, but at the same time, have you thought about hiring a financial advisor to help
you
with this?
Really? What do you say?
And the guy said, no, I don't need a financial advisor. I got $1 million.
Oof.
Well, by the end of that first week, I can guarantee
Damn.
He did not have $1 million anymore.
Well, because it's so easy to spend it. I mean, it's plus, especially if you win big
bucks
like that.
Well, also think about
that.
How much is taxed, too.
Right, right, right.
You
That's true.
You lose a lot of that in tax.
Yeah.
So, if anything, he spends $250, $300.
Yeah.
A lot of his money's already gone now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, which we'll get more into it, but I know they'll tax roughly around 40% of whatever you win. So imagine that. So in reality, if he went home with $1 million, he won $1 million, he ends up going home with $600,000, and man's just blew that shit in a week.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, that's wild. That's what's interesting about that phenomenon of the lottery curse, because a lot of people, they win the lottery, and then 70% of them end up actually going bankrupt or divorce or whatever the case is, because they end up spending it.
Even,
right.
I bought the house in cash. Bought a $500,000 house. You didn't think about your property tax.
Right,
the rest of the
right.
stuff that comes
you still got to pay. Yeah, you still got
to
pay. Right.
And sometimes they'll quit their jobs too. It's
right.
wild.
Right. And the thing is that, like, yeah, I mean, do whatever you want, but you also got to, like you said, you got to think long term. And that's why it's very interesting talking about it. And when I was getting into it, and we're going to talk more in this episode about the more of this topic, it's just crazy. You would think that it's really not like that, because, you know, imagine if you did win $20 million, you'd be like, dude, I'm fucking sad. I'm gonna buy whatever the hell I want. But you really have to think ahead. So then you can really see how you can live off of $20 million for the rest of your life, or somehow make your money make money.
Yes.
Now, for that example, take Jack Whitaker. Have you ever heard of Jack Whitaker?
I have not.
Okay.
But I'm ready for this to get dark.
Okay. Well, for instance, in 2002, Jack actually hit one of the largest Powerball jackpots in history at the time. $315 million.
Damn.
$315 million. That is insane.
Damn.
That is more money than you can even think of. Overnight, obviously, he becomes a celebrity because man's just won $315 million. But what ends up following after that was, like, nothing short of tragic. His home ended up being broken into multiple times. He faced countless lawsuits. And his own granddaughter and daughter ended up dying under very heartbreaking circumstances. We'll cover his his story in another episode. His story is not the one that we're talking about today, but
damn, so it's getting even darker than that.
It's gonna get even darker. Well, yeah,
shit.
No, his story is really sad, but his granddaughter and his daughter, their deaths were both linked to very sudden, mysterious drug overdoses after they came into this wealth. Weird. Yeah, so it's just a lot of weird phenomenons going on, right? And so his fortune actually ended up dwindling away, and he ended up saying, he said once, "I wish I had torn that ticket up." I've been reading about a lot of lottery winners, but more of the dark side of things, and even learning about the phenomenon and the statistic is that money is great, but is also the root to all evil, yeah. Right? It's also greed comes with it. You got to think of the darker side of things, right? There's also another man called Abraham Shakespeare. He was this humble...
Yo, that is a hell of a name.
I know.
Shakespeare and Abraham.
I would make a whole brand out of that. That is a beautiful name. But he was actually a humble truck driver from Florida who actually won $30 million in 2006. And everyone wanted a piece of it. I mean, friends, family, strangers, anyone you can think of wanted a piece of that money. He actually became so overwhelmed that he had once told his mother that he wished he was back just driving his truck like old times because things change. Yeah. And I actually saw a show recently. It's a drama. It's called The Strangers, I think it was. Nicole Kidman's in it. Okay. It's about this Russian lady who she owns this very luxurious villa kind of resort that you go to try to get away from life and reset. And there's a bunch of different couples and families that come, and you have to get selectively picked just to come to this resort.
It's like
a special invite. There's only a certain amount of people. It's beautiful food. It's clean. It's kind of a retreat where you're going to go and long story short, she's kind of microdosing people with ayahuasca or shrooms, I think it was, or whatnot. And one of the couples that's actually at this retreat is there because they won millions of dollars, and they said that they kind of lost touch. They were like, "Oh, I wish we didn't." Yeah, they even said it, like, "I wish we didn't even have that money. Like, remember who we used to be before the money?"
Because
it really does change you, which is insane. So that's exactly what happened to Abraham Shakespeare with the people around him. And in 2009, he actually was murdered by a woman that befriended him just to try to steal his money. Isn't that crazy? It's like you can't trust nobody.
That's fucking wild.
Right. That's crazy.
I mean, that is why they say stay anonymous. If you ever win the lottery, stay anonymous and immediately hire a lawyer and a financial advisor.
Right. Well, the sad thing is too, which you're going to see as we keep talking, is that some cases you don't get the option to stay anonymous. It actually has to be a public record. Yeah. And we'll get into it.
All right.
I know we'll get into it because I agree. Now, those are just some isolated cases right there. Obviously, across different cultures, there's actually an old saying called "easy money brings hard luck," which I was like, damn, that's deep. But in folklore, sudden wealth was often considered cursed because they considered it as a disruption of fate that invites disaster. And even today, some people believe that lottery tickets given as gifts actually carry bad luck.
Really?
I know, which I never learned that, because what did we do for our 1 year wedding anniversary?
We bought lottery tickets.
Yeah, because we're like, oh, let's start this tradition. Yeah. Let's buy a lottery ticket every wedding anniversary. That'll be fun. Well, like, we're going to win big 1 year. Thing. Yeah, we did the same thing.
Yeah, because that was my childhood thing. My mom always would put at least a small little dollar lottery ticket in our stockings.
Right. Well, I mean, now that's why I thought it was super interesting, because when I was learning more, I'm like, wow, I didn't know that was. Well, I mean, it's different.
No wonder I didn't win any money. It was bad luck she gifted it to us.
But it makes so much sense. I mean, so many different cultures have very different superstitions and also what they believe in and folklore and stuff. But I thought that was very interesting. And that's what's going to bring us to today's case.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. We're actually going to one of your favorite places to eat. Can you take another guess?
Texas Roadhouse?
No. Oh.
Taco Bell.
No. All right. We'll get into it. Well, March of 1999, Grand Bay, Alabama. It's this very little quiet town hugging the Gulf Coast. Now, as you can see, it's no joke, like right next to the Panhandle. Yeah.
Damn.
Is that the Panhandle? Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Florida's Panhandle, but
no, yeah. Pensacola. Is that what I'm thinking of?
Yeah. Well, yes, that part of Florida.
Yeah, so it's my apologies. But yes, so it's an hour literally to Pensacola. So you're right there on the cusp, okay? So it's like on that little snug little area, nook. Yeah, a little nook
little
of Alabama.
Cozy little nook.
On the Gulf Coast. Now, life here was simple, very predictable. And for 28-year-old Tonda Dickerson, it was modest, maybe even a little routine. She was a waitress at Waffle House.
Oh, mm-hmm. I do love me a good Waffle
you
House.
You do. It's on, I definitely think it's on your top five. I don't think it's your top three, but it's definitely top five.
I would say top 10.
Okay, my bad. You know, people change. People say, but if you've never heard of Waffle House, it is a Southern icon, okay? It is a 24-hour Southern diner chain and especially popular in states like Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. And it's super famous for their breakfast staples. I mean,
the All-American.
All-America
I
waffles.
Think it's called the All-Star breakfast or something.
They probably do that, yeah.
That one is the best one.
Yeah, so they have like the waffle. I mean, they're very well known for their waffles, obviously. Waffle House eggs, bacon, biscuits, and hash browns, which I was learning because, you know, I don't really eat there often. But I was learning their hash browns, you get them smothered, covered in chunks.
What?
Yeah, that's like their thing.
I've
you didn't
never
know
done
that?
I've just gotten regular hash browns. I'm telling you, everyone, if you've never ate there,
it is good.
Wrong, you walk in, it's a questionable freaking place when you walk in because you see the shape of it and you think,
it's so
I
tiny.
I don't think this food's going to be safe to eat.
No, it's delicious.
Golly, it's delicious.
Yeah, but I think that's also kind of like,
it
looks like diner. It's just like your typical diner food, but they just serve a lot of breakfast.
Yes.
And it's honestly, every time we go in there, it actually smells really good. I don't know, to me, every time I hear somebody at Waffle House, it's because they're either hungover and they're trying to get a good meal in, you know, like something that'll really just carb load
it. Yes, I mean, it is true.
So smothered means the hash browns are cooked with onions. Covered means that they're topped with melted cheese, and then chunked means that they're mixed with pieces of grilled ham. I was like, oof.
Dude, I've never had
that.
In all my years of eating Waffle House, never knew that was a thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, the more you know, because I just learned about it. And I mean, as you could think about it already, the vibe is also very casual. It's inexpensive, and it's just a big part of Southern road culture. Perfect for regulars who, you know the waitress by name. This is your type of diner, right? Okay. Now, the day that Tondra was working, it was her morning shift, and she's doing her usual day-to-day. I mean, think all about waitress, balancing coffee pots, you know.
Balancing coffee pots?
Just
the
randomly.
Fuck she doing walking around, walking around with a broomstick holding a coffee pot up in there? The fuck?
She's doing the spinning on the dishes.
This isn't Polar Express, baby.
I know. When I start thinking about it, that's me just off the dome, baby. That's me just off the dome. That's it. No,
you're
but
special.
Thanks. Now, her life was grounded in the ordinary, right? She wakes up, she clocks in, she serves food, she clocks out, she's working, check the check. She's been divorced. She has no children, and she's just, you know, working her day to day. Now, all I really saw and read was that she had at least one sister and possibly a brother. There's not a lot about her story. There's like enough, but a lot of stuff is still kind of speculative and certain sources. I'm like, not sure if that's credible. But anyways, so that's what I saw. She has siblings. Now, enter Edward Seward.
I don't know why, but I was waiting for you to say Edward colon.
I wish, bruh. Bella, where the hell you been, Loca? Yeah. It's like, hold on to me, spider monkey. I can't deal with him. That was just so cringe, but I love that movie so much. Twilight fans, where we at? Okay, so enter Edward Seward, a friendly regular in his 60s who loved to chat with the servers. But on this specific day, he actually walks in with something unexpected.
A lottery ticket.
A handful of Florida lottery tickets.
Okay.
Well, Florida's only an hour away, not very weird.
I know, just the handful, though.
Because he had a couple, because he was actually planning on gifting it to his favorite waitresses as a tip. Yes.
Okay.
So, you know, just a small gesture, something to make the girl smile, and he handed them out to his favorite servers, and Tonda got one. She tucks it away, probably thinking nothing of it. Okay. Now, the drawing was just a few days after she received it in March of 1999. I think they said March 6th for the Florida lottery. When the winning numbers rolled in, Tonda realized she's actually holding a winning lottery ticket in her hand.
That's wild.
Tipped to her. Yep. And now she's got the lottery ticket worth $10 million.
Holy shit.
Imagine
that. I was expecting you to say one, maybe 3 million at
tops.
No,
we talking
10?
10 million, baby. Yep.
Damn.
So if you think about it, overnight, shit, everything changes.
Everything changed.
She claims her winnings within days, and the next day she quits her job.
Makes sense.
Valid. Typical. Yeah, typical, right? Valid. Now, this kind of got me in the question of, you know, why do lotteries even exist? Like, how does that even start about, right? Now, lotteries started as government fundraising tools dating back all the way to the Roman Empire.
Damn.
I know. But in the U.S., modern state lotteries became really big in the 60s as a way to raise public revenue without increasing taxes. So I'm like, okay, interesting. Now let's break it down, because let's say you go win the lottery. Okay, how does that exactly work? What comes next? Because I didn't really know much about it. All I know is I win the lottery and I'm like, I guess I just mail it in and I get my money. No. Now you got two options. You can either take a lump sum, one giant payment that's heavily taxed up front, often around 40%, what I was reading.
Yeah.
Or you can go the second route, which is the annuity route. You can spread it over 30 years into smaller checks, and it's kind of more money overall long term. Now, Tonda chose the annuity option. She decided to go to 30 payments of $375,000 a year.
Damn.
But here's the catch. That's obviously before taxes. Regardless, that's a lot of money.
Still, yeah.
Because I know there's a lot of people out there that, oh my God, have you ever heard of the ones that, yeah, well, for example, like, oh yeah, she won $10 million, but then like that gets taxed. Yeah, yes. But even if I get $6 million back, that's $6 million more than I had before. Yeah. So who gives a fuck?
Even if you win a grand, that's a grand more than you would have had.
Right, that. Right, exactly. But it's just there's always those naysayers, those negative Nancys that are like, okay, so what? He won $300 million. He only takes home $150. Oh, $150 would do wonders right now, okay? So she ends up going the annuity route. Federal tax takes 25%. Alabama takes another 5% because state tax. And so that's roughly around $108,000 gone each year. So really her payout yearly is $266,000 annually. Still life changing. Yeah. I mean, that's more money good than money. She's going to be making at Waffle House. So that's amazing, right? That's amazing. Especially just winning a lottery. That's amazing. That's I'll take money. That. Now, wanting to be smart, she ends up forming an S corporation called 9Mill Inc. and gives shares to her family. Because they had actually talked about if any of them ever made it big, that they would share the money with each other and help each other out, which I'm like, you know, valid, totally get it. Now, think of this as like making the lottery winning, turning the lottery winnings that you just won into a company. And instead of saying, hey, here's some cash, you say, here's part of my company that owns that cash. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she pretty much handed out stock in her company. Cash. Yeah, in her company, yeah. Which is what's holding the lottery winnings. Now, why would she do this is to help reduce taxes and give her family this structured share of money.
I was just getting to ask, who the hell told her to do this? Because this is actually smart as shit.
Yeah, so this sounds smart, right? Now, I was reading on this Forbes article, and I'm going to read it verbatim because I thought it was very interesting, right? So it says here, this kind of thing goes on all of the time with respect to high net worth families. The entity protects the assets from potential creditors, allows for administration and consolidation of assets, and makes gifting easy. And that's what it looked like when Tonda set this up. She retained 49% of the stock, and her parents and siblings split the remaining 51% of the stock. So on paper, it looks like a very cautious, very responsible way to handle such sudden wealth, right? And that's actually pretty smart how she was going about it. I can see where she's going
there.
To
handle taxes and everything. Yeah, right, of course.
Definitely going with that. Now, lottery wins in Florida are public record.
Damn.
Because that's my first thing, right? It's like, did she tell anybody what, you know, also, I mean, okay, so it's public record. So her name is public almost immediately once she accepts the money.
That's kind of fucked up.
Right. And then I started reading more and I'm like, okay, that sucks. And also she lives in a very relatively small town. So word is going to spread fast.
Easily.
And the fact that she quit Edward comes it's in, gives out lottery. Then she quits a few days later. That's odd. Right. So she didn't really have the luxury of anonymity. Oh my goodness. Anonymity.
Unanimity?
Yeah, well, no. Something like that. Anonymity. Yeah, anonymity. But I was reading some comments of people that have from other YouTube channels and stuff, and people are like, this is why you don't say anything. And I'm like, she didn't have a choice. Yeah, she didn't really have a choice, because especially the ticket was from Florida, and you have to go on public record. So at this point, you can only imagine. It doesn't take that long for greed to start come knocking on the door. We know Tonda is making money. Hey,
Tonda, you remember when I said hi to you that one day?
Tonda, don't forget I held the door, sweetheart. Come on, just $100. Just $100. Don't be rude. The man who gave her the ticket, Edward Stewart, reportedly said that they joked that if anyone won, they'd share it with the group. Over coffee, when he gave out the ticket, you know, if anybody wins, like, you know, we'll all split the money. Now, this is just like a passing comment, but Tonda didn't really see it as a contract. Her co-workers, on the other hand, disagreed.
Of course they did.
They actually ended up suing her, claiming that there was a verbal agreement to split the winnings, and the jury on that trial actually sided with them. It took them under an hour just to agree with the coworkers. Now, Tonda was not happy about that, because she's like, that just doesn't seem right. Yeah. And she,
it's fucked up.
Yeah. And I also read another article. Like, there were some reports that stated that she did acknowledge that it was a verbal agreement to some people, and then to others she didn't. But I don't know how credible that is or whatnot. Regardless, if that verdict actually stuck, she would have owed them millions, which what I was reading. She would have had to split the $10 million within how many ever coworkers were there that day, which I think was 4 or 5. So whatever. But Tonda ended up appealing that verdict. And in 2000, the Alabama Supreme Court actually overturned the ruling, saying that gambling related agreements aren't enforceable because verbal deals about lottery money, that's legally worthless. That's not, you're still gambling.
The
that
same
doesn't.
Things happen with, there's been husband and wives. Probably some of the divorces you saw.
I see that.
That there's been husband and wives where the husband will win, and then the wife says, well, he's unemployed. That was my money that he used to buy it. Therefore, technically, that lottery ticket is mine.
Is mine, yeah.
And in some states, the wife will win or the husband will win.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
No, it's crazy, yeah.
Again, and that's that greed, though.
Right, and that's my thing, where it's like the darker side of things. People change. I mean, it could be anybody. Family members, it could be your closest people. It doesn't even matter. And the minute you start including millions of dollars, people switch up on you, and it's just the darker side of the lottery that nobody really thinks about, because, I mean, who would even think that, right? Now, thankfully, that verdict was overturned, so she didn't have to split the money with them.
Good.
Meanwhile, Edward sued her for a truck that he claimed she promised him. So apparently, she said that she was going to buy him a truck if she won the lottery, if she got hit, okay? Now, that case actually got fizzled out. It was dismissed, and I didn't see anything anywhere that he actually went and got a she gave him a truck or that was even valid. Okay,
of course.
So he didn't get anything from that. Now, still at this point, Tonda is learning a very, very harsh lesson that money clearly attracts trouble, like fucking blood attracts sharks or whatever. You know, some insert good comparison here. If greed comes knocking, if you got big money, big bones like that, who else do you think would come knocking?
Family.
No, actually, the IRS comes knocking.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Of course they're gonna come.
Uncle Sam's coming. Uncle Sam's always watching. Big brother. Okay. Now, Tonda thought that she was being super generous by giving family members shares of her corporation, of this 9 Mil Inc. company that she created. But the IRS thought otherwise. Now, remember, she creates this corporation. The IRS doesn't see this as smart planning because they saw what she was doing as giving gifts. Now, because her relatives didn't pay full price for their shares, in tax law, gifts above $10,000 back then, now I think it's higher, are taxable. So if she's giving away 51% of her company or whatnot, her shares, that's a lot more than $10,000. Yeah. So, and the giver, not the receiver, is the one that actually pays the gift tax. So this applies to cash, property, or anything of value that you give without expecting something equal in return. So she argued. She's like, no, it wasn't a gift, actually. It was a business decision, but the IRS didn't buy it. And so took 12 years for them to come to a verdict, and she lost in 2012. And the judgment was that she had to pay $771,000 plus interest, totaling over $1.1 million.
Damn.
Yep. All in gift tax fees because that she sucks. Didn't. Yeah. Because apparently the way that they saw it, they're like, well, if you're giving this as a gift, then you have to pay tax on that.
She should have had her family sue her because
she
don't pay.
She gets sued so much.
Well, no, you don't pay tax on settlements. So if her family had sued her.
Oh, well.
No tax.
Well, that's interesting. But that's what I thought. When I read that,
I could be wrong, but
yeah, please don't. We ain't experts, okay? We're over here.
This is not legal advice.
This is not legal advice whatsoever. No, but this is interesting because I'm like, damn. At first, I'm like, yo, that's smart that she did this corporation thing, and she
sounded
super smart. But there's so many loopholes, and I don't know what she went through to go through all this stuff. Now you got to think about this, right? She's been in this lawsuit situation with the IRS for 12 years.
Yeah.
She already was being sued by her coworkers and then she got sued by Edward. So imagine the legal fees that she's having to pay.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yes.
Fuck.
And we've only got 10 milli here. Okay. And we're getting this distributed within 30 years. So now we're starting to
dip in.
Now, by now, the dream that so many are sharing, obviously, about winning this lottery is starting not to sound like such a dream after all.
Oh, it sounds like a freaking pain in the ass.
Yeah, it actually sounds like she's fighting for her fucking life just to be able to enjoy her earning.
$10 million that she was more than given.
She was given, pretty
much. And then it's almost like it was a discipline.
Right. Now, if things couldn't be bad already, this is where things take a darker twist.
Oh.
Yeah, because why the fuck not?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Let's go.
She wins the lottery earnings in 1999, right? Now, 3 years later, in 2002, now there's different accounts here. Tonda's ex-father-in-law, I kept reading more ex-father-in-law. There's other accounts that people say it was her ex-husband. Regardless, it was one of her
ex-something,
okay? I'm going to go with ex-father-in-law. So Tonda's ex-father-in-law actually hatches out this plan. He's going to lure her into his truck, pull a gun, and demand her lottery winnings. Yo, are you good? That sounds like your last breath.
Yo. I swear.
Now, imagine the terror, right? Because I'm really big on trying to put myself in other people's shoes to kind of see their perspective and be empathetic, right? Someone that you once called family pulls up to you, is now your kidnapper, and is holding your life in his hands with a gun. And I kept thinking, imagine if Dilly, your dad, was like, I was in the shoes and it was your dad, I'd be like, yo, what the hell happened, bro? I thought, I told you, we're going to go to Alaska, man.
I think, honestly, I would struggle. I would just start laughing, and I would just say, you realize I accepted that over 30 years.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That's insane. The shit that people will do, it really turns people evil.
They're dirty.
People just don't care, and they will do whatever. It doesn't, if it means kill, they will
it. They listen too hard into that J.D. Wentworth commercial.
J.D. Wentworth, call 877 cash now.
It's my money, and I need it now.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Did I get it wrong?
No.
Oh, that is another jingle. One. Yeah. Okay. Now, as he drove, he ended up driving her to a remote area, and she waited for the right moment. Now, when he wasn't paying attention, she ends up lunging at him. They kind of get into the scuffle, yada yada, this and that. She gets the gun goes off, she gets grazed, and then she actually is able to get her hands on the gun and shoots him and kills him.
Oh, fuck.
Yep. So in self-defense, of course.
Well, yeah, but
because
shit,
that's what's happening.
Dude.
I know. Now, you got to think about this for a second. She went from waitress to millionaire to now having killed someone.
Killer.
Yeah, to killer in self-defense. In self-defense. All in just a span of 3 years.
That fucking sucks.
Right? Yo, when I was reading about this story, the whole time I kept thinking, one, poor Tonda, just let her enjoy the damn money, right? Two, I think about winning the lottery probably once every other week. I'd be fantasizing about it, manifesting. And then I never saw it through this type of lens because never you think about that. I also watched that show where it's like My Lottery Home, the HGTV where people win the lottery and they go and buy a house. It's all positive and luck and fun and exciting. And then
Tonda, the real estate agent's walking away with a fat check.
Hell yeah. He's like, yeah, what do you want? No, but so when I was reading this, I'm like, damn, I would be so pissed. I think I'd be walking. I think I'd start walking around with a gun. Like that's how mad I'd be.
just walk around with a shotgun.
Yo, I'd be like, what the hell's up with y'all, man? leave me the hell alone with my damn lottery ticket. Like, Jesus Christ. I just really fell for her because I'm like, my goodness.
No, I agree. That's fucked up. That sucks.
It's crazy. Now, the shooting was actually ruled self-defense, thank God. So,
as it should be.
Yeah. Tonda walked away free. There was no issues with that. They were like, yep, clearly self-defense. He kidnapped you, all that jazz. Now, we're doing this. Let's do a timeline recap now that we're here. So you think about it, in 1999, she wins $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
2000, lawsuits and appeals. Her coworkers turn on her. Lawsuits really soured her. Really, she doesn't have any friends right now. Nobody, because also you got to think about it. She can't even trust anybody at this point.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't even know.
Everyone's either trying to sue her or now at this point, try to kill her.
Trying to kill her. 2002 comes by. She gets kidnapped and she kills in self-defense, nearly dies, right? This whole ordeal ends up ending in bloodshed.
That's fucking wild.
And in 2012, she ends up losing the IRS battle that lasted the whole 12 years. Which also
takes so much money.
Imagine that, 12 years, right? It takes a lot of money financially and also mentally. My goodness.
The stress over those 12 years?
Right, exactly. So most of it at that point is gone. Okay. After federal taxes, Alabama taxes, legal costs, and the IRS penalties, there's nothing really concrete out there that states exactly how much she has or so forth and whatnot. But experts believe that she likely walked away with probably just a fraction of $10 million, if anything at all, by the time it was 2012.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And I was even trying to read if I was trying to look to see if she got to enjoy any of it. You know, does she buy a fucking mansion? Does she buy a damn Escalade like my man at the beginning of the story?
You said mansion and I'm thinking home prices now.
Bro,
forget this was early 2000. She could have bought whatever the fuck she wanted.
She really, this is when we should have been buying property, but we were like, baby? We're like, no, I want chocolate milk. Yeah, no, seriously, for real. So at this point, that's what we know of Tonda Dickerson. Okay. Now today reports suggest that Tonda keeps a very low profile and she's actually, from what I was seeing, that she actually is working as a poker dealer somewhere in Mississippi.
That's actually fucking awesome.
Yeah. Which if that is the truth, it's kind of ironic because
she's wins more or less in
the gambling. Right. And at the end of the day, playing the lottery is a gamble that is gambling, right? It's just not your typical casino gambling, right? But it's just kind of like in the world of gambling and she's kind of still back there.
Yeah.
Now in interviews, she has actually admitted that winning the lottery was the worst thing that ever happened to me. I was like, damn girl. Damn, man.
Now you're working in a...
For real. Can we make a GoFundMe? In an industry
that Uno's coming to.
Actually, I saw a post today from Uno and they said that that's not... They actually worded it as the security can't handle this yet. That we have to figure out a way because they were afraid that... They were afraid that people were going to crash out over Uno because, relationships end. Families get torn because of Uno.
I saw somebody posted a meme and it said, imagine you're... Imagine you've been skipped three times in a row and your house is on the line. And it was the photo of the black guy that's sitting there with his eyes like this. And he's like,
yes, got and sweat he's sweating. Oh, you're talking about face. Key and Peele? That yes. meme? Yes, oh, yes. That's so funny. Yes, that is so funny. No, that is hilarious. But honestly, the moral of the story is that sometimes money just doesn't change everything. Yeah.
That's true.
Actually, you know what? It does change everything because it changes everyone around you. It's especially wild. If you don't got some diehards. Yeah.
It is wild, though. I feel like, I could not imagine going from never having killed anyone, not having to worry a day in my life, working at Waffle House, chilling, to now all of a sudden I've murdered somebody again in self-defense. But either way, you still have to kill someone.
The baggage
for real. Yeah, especially if it's either whatever it was, your ex-husband, ex-father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
some type of relationship there that's family.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks so bad. I feel like at that point, life just isn't the same anymore. And you're just kind of... It's funny to know because isn't it every time I go to the freaking gas station or whatever to get a lottery, I'm always like, I'm gonna be back for you, don't worry, I'm gonna get you something.
And
I'm gonna
give
you
something time,
you know, the cashier's like, bitch, just get the fuck out of here. Literally. Like I have to clock in again at fucking 6 a.m shut the fuck up. No joke, every time. But now it's had me thinking, now I'm just not gonna say it, and when I win it, I'm just gonna come up and be like, here's a gift. at whatever the threshold is, depending on what the state says. So yeah, that's today's episode. What you thought? It was wild. It was interesting. I know. I just felt it was very up the macabre Monday's alley because we start digging into the deep, darker side of it.
It's wild to. I guess I've always thought of divorce, bankruptcy.
Yeah. And just giving it away or something. Yeah.
Shit like that. But, well, not giving it away, but.
Yeah, no, but like spending. Yeah, blowing it away. Yeah.
But I've never thought of this. I mean, I've thought of the greed.
Yeah, but not like in an this. Aspect
where all of a sudden you're having to kill someone.
Yeah.
That's wild.
For your life, because people are seeing you as a target.
That's wild.
And mentioning Jack Whitaker and Abraham Shakespeare. Oh, man, I'm going to have to cover them on another episode, too, because
no, that's wild, man.
When I was reading about the lottery just has so much deep darkness to it that I never thought about. I really never thought about this side. I always thought about the more, oh, yeah, I got the money. I mean, now I could pay off some debt. I could buy a new house. Well, I could do whatever.
Did you watched McMillions, right?
Yes.
Such a good series, by the way.
Yes.
That was insane, too.
Yeah. No, that was crazy.
It was literally a whole ring of people working all together in all different
aspects.
Yeah,
so that they can freaking win millions of dollars. Yes. Yeah. Which to me, I'm like, yo, do what you got to do, man. But I mean, just do your best.
I will say, that was insane to see how the winning pieces were carried around in these special locked briefcases.
And it was
darn near handcuffed, or they were handcuffed.
Yeah,
right?
I was gonna say they were treating it, no joke, like it was the lottery.
Which again,
numbers
it makes sense.
Makes sense, though. But, yeah. Well, and you also have to think about it. Everything derives from something. There's a reason why they have to take the precautions that they're taking, because 100%. People are going to fucking try to steal it.
Well, I mean, we should, if we're gonna cover wild greed cases that get into murder and
crime.
And crime. LA is notoriously unfortunately, very well known for the Brinks and Garda trucks.
Oh my God.
Getting attacked.
Well, yeah, I keep thinking about GTA. I mean, GTA is not lying.
No.
What about them side missions? I'm going to go steal. Yeah.
That
which
random
is insane.
Granny that I honked at, and then she gets out of her car and yanks me out of the car.
She's
but
like,
then I throw the punch, and all of a sudden the cops come after me.
Three stars. Three stars. You better run, motherfucker. Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
What up? It's your boy Tom here. We'd love to hear from you. Seriously, if you have any story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, send it my way. Well, send it our way, because I'm not going to see them. Alejandra's going to see them. And then if you've not listened to it already, go back, listen to our listeners episode, and you're going to hear how bad your stories freak me the F out. So
we want that again.
Email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours might just be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned, more mysteries just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, everyone. Bye.
Deuces.
And share the lottery winnings with us.
Facts, bruh.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.